You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, and this is Features Editor John Gentile, and I am here with contributing writer to Exclaim Magazine, or is it Spin? Was it Exclaim? Exclaim,
Exclaim.
with her big full feature, No Effects interview, and more, and more. What's it like to have a full feature
Yay.
headline story at Exclaim, Canada's biggest music news website? How did that feel?
Was really cool. Like, I still kind of can't believe that it was like it happened, and they have a trending section on the website, and my NoFX interview was trending for like a while, and I'm like, oh my God, like I've written some other stuff for them, and they're just amazing. Exclaim rules. They're awesome. So it was just really nice to see it up there, and get people's eyes on it, and I'm glad people are enjoying it. I've heard some really nice things. So someone commented on Blue Sky, and they were like, oh yeah, like this is really cool. It really humanizes like Fat Mike and different things, and it's nice to see kind of the that side. So I'm really glad I was able to capture kind of the essence of the conversation we had, and I'm glad I got able was able to work in a couple things. One thing though that was funny was like my parents read it and they Googled pegging, so they learned something.
Well, there you go. Luckily my parents are not great with Google. What do you think is going to happen with NoFX? And I think you could probably just Google NoFX Exclaim. Let me take a quick, or Google
Think
NoFX
so.
Exclaim and more, and the article pops right on
Oh.
up. So do that.
Yeah.
NoFX Exclaim X more, and more rather. Or you can go to Punk News and read the article, Fat Mike of NoFX says he almost died
Oh.
of H. pylori infection. So you can do that too. And
Oh
what do you think is
yeah.
going to happen with NoFX? Is it the end? Are they going to reunite? Are they going to keep,
Ooh.
are they going to continue this like post breakup Beatles type thing where most of them are kind of associated with each other and they still are sort of Beatles here and there? What do you think is going to happen?
Ooh. I think NoFX as a band are done. I don't think that they're gonna reunite. I had that thought, and I know I've said it, I think on the podcast where it's like, oh, I think a couple years down the line or whatever, they're gonna come back. I don't think so anymore. I think that, they said they were retiring. They are retiring. They have the documentary out now, which like gets into a lot of stuff. It's called 40 Years of Fucking Up. It's really good, so I would definitely recommend it. Like, if you like Backstage Passport and stuff, like you're gonna love this. So I don't think they're getting back together. I think they are done, and I think from this point on, it's we're all gonna do our own individual things, and we're gonna be friends, hopefully, and just kind of move on.
Do
What
you
do you
think
think?
Mike and do you think Mike and Melvin will be friends?
No. I don't
Where?
think so. I that's just kind of my feeling on the matter. I think that that's something that the documentary touches on, where like it really seems like that's it.
Well, there you have it, and Moore's take on NoFX. And as
Sweet.
M says, no reunion, no effects, no reunion. M, should I buy? I'm just flipping through the internet now. Should I buy the Kiss 50th anniversary liquid field copy of Destroyer? I can't stand Kiss, but I feel this will be worth a lot of money.
How much is it?
$100.
How much would you sell it for?
Maybe 300.
Ooh, yeah, I think it's worth it then.
Maybe. Well, anyway, let the
Is shipping going to be a hassle though?
please, Em. I get free shipping. I'm Diamond member at the Discover Music Club, Em. Diamond, I get free shipping. Okay.
Yes.
Tomorrow, Sam, myself, and Ricky are recording a Record Store Day podcast, so that'll be on up. Also, I'm many episodes behind. I'm going to mix some tonight and get them up tonight, hopefully. Sorry, people, but I've got a life outside of punk rock. However, Em, we've got a lot to cover tonight. And I kind of think we should hit all the festivals in a row. What do you think?
Ooh, okay. I'm up for festival speed run. Or not
So
speed run, but festival run.
the festival marathon, if you will.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm speaking of marathon, I just thought of Greek history. I'm always reading ancient history. And what do you think came first? The name orange for the fruit or the color orange?
The fruit.
How'd you know that?
I remember it being, I think it was an answer on Jeopardy.
Correct. Em is correct in that the name orange
Hey.
for the fruit came first. Orange, the color before the orange, the fruit, was referred to as red yellow. So there you go. Also, in
That's
ancient
funny.
Greece, we're talking Homeric era Greece, we're talking about 800, 700 BC, blue did not have a name. They would call it shimmering ocean. What do you think of that, Em? Shimmering ocean.
Shimmering ocean sounds so much more poetic.
Sounds like a crown, doesn't it? Would you please pass the shimmering ocean? Anyways, speaking of things being poetic, Fest 24 has been announced. It is. Halloween
Yeah.
time is just before Halloween. October 23, 24, and 25, of course, in Gainesville. Looks like there's no pre-fest this year. Bouncing Souls play two sets. Pup plays two sets, including The Dream Is Over. The Impossibles, Texas Is the Reason, Nerf Herder playing their first record. Bear vs. Shark, Torch, Homefront, Small Brown Bike playing Dead Reckoning. The Flatliners, Wilhelm Scream, Sparta, Muscle Plug, Sam I Am, Against All Authority, Sleepy Time Trio, The Planet Smashers, Cat Bite, and other bands. Depending on what corners of the internet you looked, people were either extremely excited or people were saying it's all, not that exciting of a fest. I've got a very definite opinion. Em, how do you feel about
Okay.
this fest? Would you go to a fest? And actually, so we're actually going to talk about a couple of music festivals today. We're talking about CBGB's Fest. We're talking about Fest, and I think we're talking about one other festival, aren't we, Em?
We're talking
Crap.
about the Slayer thing, but I don't think
All
that's
right, we'll say
the
the Slayer
festival.
thing and the Damned. We'll include those four. So keep
Okay.
those four in mind, Em. The
Yes.
Slayer does All Rain and Blood. Actually, yeah, this is real good. Slayer does All Rain and Blood, which we're going to talk about. The Damned on their maybe final tour, CBGB Fest and
Oh,
Fest Fest.
yes.
So Em, Fest, what do you think of Fest Fest?
Fest, fest. I think there's some good bands on here, some great bands on here. Like you can't go wrong with Pup. Yeah, Flatliners, Sparta, Catbite, obviously, Planet Smashers, No Bro, Initiate. Oh my gosh, where are we here? I just lost where I was. Oh no, Half Past Two, Pollyanna, Pony, Spaced, lots of really great Homefront, lots of really great bands. So I think that the Fest lineup is pretty good. I like the art for it. There are some bands on here that I'm not personally like a big fan of, but I would be open to seeing them play live because maybe that would change my opinion. But overall, I think it's a pretty decent lineup. Would I go to Fest? I would go to Fest because, I've heard lots of people talk about it, and it seems like a really fun time. So I would try it, see what it's all about. The one thing, well, I guess it's in October, so it's not like super hot. I do
Oh,
not
it's
do
super hot.
well.
It's
Oh,
super
it
hot and super
is?
humid. That I've never been there, but it's definitely super humid. Very humid.
Ooh,
It's
I do
Florida,
not do
Em.
well. Ooh, I don't know how well I do in the heat, and also I don't know about Florida, just kind of in general.
Unlike punk rock bowling,
Yeah.
which is a dry heat, Em. A dry heat in punk rock bowling.
And that's better.
Way better than humid heat for sure.
Okay. I will take your word for it. So, overall, Fest lineup is cool, but is it worth traveling to the US for? Debatable.
I love a
What's
lot of
your
the
take?
bands. I love a lot of the bands on this
Yeah.
lineup. Cat Bite is one of the best bands ever. There's some other cool bands here too. Let me see if I can pick out some of the other cool bands.
So many cool bands.
Let's see here. Cat Bite, of course. Awesome. No Bro's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
We haven't said
Oh,
Homefront yet.
Homefront. Doom Stompers. So there's definitely some cool bands. Oh, Toys That Kill, FYP. Some real cool bands here. Bouncing Souls are cool. So especially when they do that Lean on Sheena song, which is a cover. Fat Heaven, who are cool. So lots of cool bands here. People that were complaining, it's like I feel like you just don't get it in that, like, this is a very fest lineup. You know, the Bouncing Souls and like Lawrence Arms and Hot Water Music and those derivative bands, that's like going to ska fest and you're mad because it's all ska bands. You know what I mean? Like this is a very, very fest list. And to a degree, people like that. Fest has kind of the same bands every year because it's a once per year you get to see all your favorite bands. I remember when I used to throw World Inferno shows, I was throwing Summer Soiree 3, and Janine of Witch Hunt said to me, "Didn't you throw the show last year?" And I could have strangled her because to me, seeing World Inferno Friendship Society once a year is three times a year too few. In that, like, I would love to see World Inferno every year. Like, I couldn't understand why you wouldn't want to see World Inferno at least every year, you know? And so I can
Sure.
understand how people kind of want to see the same bands, you know, at the festival. I'm not against that idea. And so I think for a fest lineup, this is a very, very fest lineup. And if you like fest, you'll dig this lineup. And I kind of see this more and more now. People complaining about things like this, it's like this is the product that Fest puts out. If you're complaining about it, it's like you just don't understand what it is. That's like me going to the supermarket and complaining that, you know, mint chocolate chip is minty. Like, that's what the product is. Like, I don't know. I don't get what you're get. So anyways, this is, I think, as far as on the Fest scale, I think I'll give this an 8 out of 10. I think people should go if they like these bands and they'll have a good time. I would not go to Fest. It's really not my style. But, you know, I'm not into most of the bands there. I'm not into the whole let's all drink PBR atmosphere and be drunk losers together. I'm not trying to be that mean, but that's part of it, you know. I'm not into the whole, you know, different venues all across town. You know, that's not really my style. And I'm not really into like let's all be stinky for four or 5 days together. I'm not into being stinky. I like comfort and cleanliness, which is why I love punk rock bowling, because you can stay at a very nice hotel for a very reasonable price. But I whine about punk rock bowling too much. However, I am getting my Las Vegas tickets for next month, tomorrow or tonight probably. I'll be seeing No Doubt and
Ooh.
Sloppy Seconds. I'll be crying for 4 days straight in Las Vegas. I'm like, I can't be punk rock bowling, but it'll be fun anyways. Anyways, so as far as fest goes, this is a pretty good fest, I will say. Now, M, in
Yes.
stiff competition is CBGB's Fest Part 2. The headliner
Ooh.
of CBGB Fest, a little surprising. And of course, CBGB Fest is not what it exactly looks like. What it is I think it's AEGM. Who runs CBGB Fest?
I think you posted the link in the comments. The
Let's
owner of
let That's who owns the name CB. So anyway, CBG, when people think
Is that
CBGB,
not
oh,
right?
like the famous club owned by Hilly Crystal or whatever. See, the name CBGB is strictly a property. It's a trademark intellectual property. It is a brand. It's a brand in the way that Nike is a brand, or well, that's not even a good example. It's a brand in the way that Kenmore is a brand, you know, in that
Sure.
there is no connection between this CBGB and Hilly Crystal or the club. It is simply a name that has been purchased by a capital company, capital investment company. So the name is arbitrary. It could be Give Us Money Fest. It could be Brooklyn Fest. They just decided to buy the name CBGB and use that as the brand. And frankly, it's been very, very, very effective. And it just goes to show how strong a trademark and or a brand is. People are definitely associating this festival with CBGB the club. And I would say the first CBGB Fest was very much mostly CBGB bands. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick while I keep talking. Give me one second here. I should have had this ready. Here we go. No.
You have it?
Oh, here we go.
I have it. I have it up.
So who was it, Em?
This was for 2025, and it was Iggy Pop, Jack White, Sex Pistols featuring Frank Carter, Angel Dust, Cro-Mags, The Damned, Destroy Boys, Johnny Marr, Gorilla Biscuits, Lip Critic, Linda Linda's, Luna Chicks, Lambrini Girls, Marky Ramone, Scowl, Teen Mortgage, Pink Shift, Murphy's Law, Melvins, and Soul Glow.
Well, actually, you know, there wasn't that many CBGB bands there. There was Damned there. Did you say Damned?
Yep, Dam's there.
So Damned, Iggy Pop, Marky Ramone.
Jack White has played CBGB.
He. I mean, yes, but you know, Cro-Mags. So
Did
at least they
Melvins
had
play
like.
there?
They probably did, but I wouldn't call them a CBGB band. I mean, CBGB was around to what the early 2000s. So lots of bands play
True.
CB, but when I think of CBGB, I think of 1977 to 1983, and then of course the hardcore renaissance 86 to 90.
Fair point.
But in that one, the headliner Iggy Pop, very CBGB. Iggy played CBGB many times. Here, Morrissey is not a CBGB act at all. Patti Smith, legendary New Yorker. I don't really think of her as CBGB. Interpol, not CBGB at all. Sex Pistols, not really CBGB, but I'll allow because it's punk. Bikini Kill, amazing band, not a CBGB group. And the point being is, we're becoming more removed, I think, from the history of CBGB, and it's just becoming a brand, which of course is the plan of the intellectual property owner. But first of all, Em, I was kind of shocked by Morrissey's headliner. He is a little controversial. Now, of course, he did do Crew World Fest, but he wasn't the headliner. He was a headliner. And there's a difference between being the headliner and being a headliner. Would you agree, and more?
I would agree with that 100%. Yes.
So I'm kind of surprised. So that, Morrissey's been a little controversial, the past 10 years now. And he was even somewhat controversial with his record, his song off his new record, Notre Dame, which I actually thought was a really good song. But he has kept
Okay.
his yap shut the past 3 or 4 years, so maybe the controversy has died down. But I would say, M, money always triumphs controversy. But as we saw with Kanye, it didn't. It didn't.
It did not. No,
So,
but
so.
he was barred entry into some countries.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I thought, I did think that Kanye was too big to fail. But no matter what Kanye says, he will still play the giant shows to many, many people. But that proved not to be true, It'd be interesting if England didn't ban Kanye, what would have happened, you see? And maybe that's setting a tone. But that being said, Morsi hasn't said anything extreme as Kanye. He said some, kind of confusing things, but he hasn't said anything extreme as Kanye. And he's shut his yap for the past 3 or 4 years. But the other thing is he's been canceling shows right and left. His cancellation ratio might be the highest it's ever been. I mean, it's always been a joke that he cancels lots of shows, but over the past year, he's canceled entire tours and shows. And remember, and the one show he said it wasn't canceled. He said it was not going
Oh,
to happen. What was that? He said it wasn't. What was the reason? It was like the lights were too bright in his hotel or something like that.
and he couldn't sleep the night before, and he was like, "I'm too tired."
So,
Wasn't that, is that the one you're talking about?
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay.
However, interesting to see Morrissey and Patti Smith because Morrissey is a massive Patti Smith fan. I don't know if Patti Smith's a Morrissey fan or not. So that's kind of cool to see those two in connection. I did see Patti Smith last fall, and she was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. I don't really get the Interpol connection. I don't even see how Interpol's punk at all, but. I mean, like I said, it's just a brand. It's not really a punk festival. It's a branded festival. So, two questions, M. Are you
Yes.
surprised by Morrissey headlining? And B, M, what are the chances of Morrissey canceling? And what does it mean if the headliner of a festival cancels a festival? But this isn't any festival, M. This is a festival run by big money backers who make massive amounts of money off these kind of one-time deluxe shows. What do you think is going to happen?
I think it was a I think it was an interesting move booking Morrissey as a headliner just because, like, again, we're having this conversation. What are the odds that he's actually going to be there? What are the odds that he's, going to perform and he's not going to cancel last minute or whatever? I think there would have to be some insane contract in place, wouldn't there? Where it'd be like, okay, if you cancel because of this reason, this is what happens. If you cancel because of this reason, this is what happens. And I'm sure they have backups just in case. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, who's a backup? Patti Smith. If he cancels 3 months out, that's a fixable problem. Even though it's, but
Yeah.
it is a problem. But what if he cancels like 3 days before?
I think if he cancels 3 days before Patti Smith becomes a headliner and they put another local New York band on the bill.
Do you think that perhaps they call up Iggy to say, Iggy, we had you last year and we love you, but you know, we're not going to have you 2 years in a row. But if Morrissey cancels, we want you to come out and we'll give you double your money because we're going to impose a financial penalty on Morrissey that he's got to pay us back double. Do you think that's in
Oh,
place?
interesting. That's it.
Or
I didn't consider that. Sorry.
maybe not Iggy, but some, you know, anybody, you know.
I think it would make sense.
Perhaps Johnny Marr.
Oh, can you imagine? What if he like looks at last year's lineup and is like, "Oh my God, Johnny Marr played this festival. I can't."
I think there is some kind of backup plan in regards to that. And I think, you know, I would, what do you think Iggy gets for a festival, M?
I think he would get like for headlining or just for
Yeah.
being there.
Headlining.
I think it'd be well into the like hundred thousands, maybe.
I think it's I think it's
Yeah.
200 G's. My guess is 200 G's, right?
Okay,
So,
that's fair. Yeah.
of course, then again, he headlined Punk Rock Bowling, and I don't think Punk Rock Bowling's paying out 200 G's as social distortion. Maybe so.
Unless he has like a
Oh, what?
sliding scale where it's like, if
He
it's a
might.
big festival, this is what I ask. If it's a smaller, kind of like scrappy punk festival, this is what I'm going to ask because I want to be a part of it.
You're right, and you're absolutely right, Em. So I'm going to say for CBGB Fest, 200 G's because this is AEG or Golden Voice or somebody behind it, right? So
Yes.
I think they say to Morrissey will give you 200 G's, but if you don't show up, then we get to impose a financial penalty against you, which is legal, right? And so that
Yes.
financial penalty will say is 200 G's, right? Whether or not Morrissey. And also, Em, I'm betting CBGB's is taking out insurance against Morrissey not showing up, which you definitely can do, right? And then
Oh, okay,
they
sure.
have Iggy pop on and say, Iggy, you know, it's probably not going to happen, but if it happens, we want you to come out for half a mil. That way, we realize you're an inconvenience, but you get half a million bucks for 1 hour's worth of work. And Iggy Pop would probably say yes, you know.
Sure.
And actually, they might even give Iggy, like they might even already just give Iggy, like, and I'm using Iggy as an example. Maybe they're just giving him 30 grand, like up front. Say, if you don't play, you still get 30 grand. But if you play, you get 400 G's or something. You know what I mean? Like just to
I think
reserve,
so.
you know. A lot of work to work around Morrissey, isn't it? You know, like, so anyways, yeah, I'm a little surprised by this, but I think Morrissey costs the cost to hire Morrissey has gone down because of the controversy. So I think the CBGB Fest people are like, we can make this work, you know. I think Patti Smith's going to be awesome. Do you think there's going to be
Yes.
a Patti Smith Morrissey bro down?
No. I think there's going to be something in place where they will be very much away apart.
Do you think Morrissey's going to make any snippy comments about Patti Smith or Johnny Marr or CBGB Fest?
I think he's going to make snippy comments about Johnny Marr, and I don't think he's going to say anything snippy about Patti Smith because she's going to be there.
I think he will compliment Patti Smith on stage because he loves Patti Smith. And who doesn't? Patti Smith is a national treasure.
True.
So Em, would you go to this?
Ooh. Well, like Patti Smith, Sex Pistols with Frank Carter, Bikini Kill, Buzzcocks, Circle Jerks. I'd see Agnostic Front, Mannequin Pussy, Military Gun, Panic Shack, hell yeah, Upchuck. Like I go for those for sure. Like, and that's more than half the lineup. So yes, I would go to this. I don't know how much it would be.
What would you pay him? That's the question.
Oof. Hello, I write for Punk News. Can I get a press pass?
Ah, well, there you go. But see, I think these guys don't care. You know what I mean? Like we're kind of at an age where festivals don't need press anymore because of social media, you know.
Fair enough. Yeah. Would you go?
I would go, but probably not at the. Actually, no, I would not go at the price point that it is. It's going to be at least 350 bucks. It only cost me 80 bucks to see Morrissey. It only cost me 80 bucks to be front row for Patti Smith. I just saw Circle Jerks like a week or two ago. They were awesome. So I would not go unless I got in for 100 bucks or less. And also, I'm not down with the whole new festival thing where everything's $300, $400. A
Yeah,
festival is supposed
no.
to be bang for your buck, and it's supposed to be 70 or 80 or 100 or $120 for a bunch of bands. It's not supposed to be what I would normally pay to see each band individually. And so I'm not down with these mega expensive mega festivals. I'm not down. So I would not go unless I got some kind of cool deal. So let's go on to our next
Yeah.
story here. Slayer M, they're doing all Rain and Blood
Slayer.
for the 40th anniversary. There's only two shows. One is in LA, and of course, M, where's the other one?
The other one is in Sh Shakopee, Minnesota.
Of course, where Slayer's known for being huge, Shakopee, Minnesota. So there's two Rain and Blood shows. So they're going to do all Rain and Blood in Shakopee, down Suicidal Tendencies and Hatebreed open in L.A. Cannibal Corpse, Cavalera, Conspiracy, and Crowbar open, and pretty much all those bands are longtime Slayer friends. This is kind of a sequel to their show from 20 years ago where they did all of Rain and Blood. Do you enjoy full album shows? Are you into this? Would you go to either Shakopee, Minnesota, or LA? And
I
is Slayer
am,
too old,
yeah.
Em? Is Slayer too old?
In general,
Are they too old to do this? Yes.
I don't think so. No, they're not, because like Angus Young is still touring, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a little old. I mean, he looks pretty old. And
Yeah.
honestly, like, I love AC/DC, but you see Angus out there in the schoolboy uniform and he drops his drawers. And it's got on the bottom. It's kind of creepy. Yeah. It's kind of creepy.
He's
Why
still
do you
doing
think
it though.
he is? I'll give him that. Why do you think they picked Shakopee, Minnesota, M? I mean, really?
I don't know where that is. 4th of September. Okay. It is a brand new state-of-the-art amphitheater, apparently. It doesn't look like it. Is it done yet? Is this real or is it no? Okay, so Bob Dylan will be playing there with Lucinda Williams and her band and the John Doe Folk Trio. They're getting like big names. I don't think it's built yet though. 'Cause I think that is a computer generated image.
So do you think Slayer's being paid to come out there? Do you think Shakopee is trying to build up the economy and they're paying Slayer to come out there?
Yes. I think so because again they have a Bob Dylan show, they have a Kesha show, they have who is this? A Wu T oh a Wu-Tang Clan show. Yeah, a Wu-Tang Clan show. So a Willie Nelson show it looks like. So definitely, I think they're trying to be like drive some tourism to Shakopee, Minnesota. That would be my guess. What do you think?
And how dare you make fun of the Dakota language, a proud and ancient language? How dare you make fun of their names, Em? How dare
I
you?
was not. No, I
You've
was
probably
not.
hurt the feelings of all our listeners of Dakota descent, Em.
No, I didn't mean to. I
So
forgot the
anyways,
name of the place, and then I was trying to figure it out.
Shakopee. Actually, I think it's
Shakopee.
actually like Shakopee or something like that, or Shakopee. Shakopee.
Oh,
I don't
Shakopee?
know. Shakopee and
Okay.
Myers. Anyways, why do I think it's there? I think they're trying to, just like the time I saw Flock of Seagulls in Scranton for the, which was a free show hosted by the Business Development Commerce Chamber. I think Shakopee is trying to build their economy, and consciousness is not a bad way to kind of kickstart that. Would I go see this? I certainly would go see this. I saw Slayer do it 20 years ago. Ugh. And it was awesome, except for I kind of ruined the concert for myself because they would do a Slayer set and then they end it with Rain and Blood, the whole album. And the whole concert was like, I can't wait for Rain and Blood. I can't wait for Rain and Blood. I can't wait for Rain and Blood. And so I didn't really enjoy the first hour of the concert because I was so excited for Rain and Blood. And then when they started Rain and Blood, I'm like, I can't wait for the song Rain and Blood. I can't. So during the album Rain and Blood, I was excited to hear the very final song. So I kind of ruined it for myself. And then I drew home in the thickest fog I've ever been in my entire life from Pittsburgh. I just saw Slayer this past summer, and it was one of the best times I've seen them post the passing of Jeff Hanneman. They were, like I said, is Tom Araya hasn't wanted to be in Slayer since like 1990, and for once he seemed he wanted to be up there on stage for like the first time ever that I've seen him. So they were extremely good this past summer. Great show. So I would go to this, and I think this would be cool. It'll be interesting to see how they play it. What I hope what and when you see a band do a full album, do you want them to do the
Yes.
full album, or do you want them to mess with the album and change the tracks around, or do what the Damned did when they would do full albums a couple of times, is put songs between the album songs? What do you want to see?
Ooh. I like the mixed up
I don't, I hate it.
approach.
I
I enjoy it, unless it's a concept album. If it's a concept album, it has to be played in the order that it is on the album.
only want that. I mean, I want other songs, but I want the full album, then other songs. Or other songs in the full album. Don't put stuff in between. Don't mix the songs up, except for when the Melvins did it. It was awesome. Like they juggled the songs around, but they still played the full album. I think Rain and Blood, I think you've got to play that front to back because there's such momentum in that album, and that it gets faster and more intense as it goes along. You know, I don't think you can mess
Yeah.
with the track list on that. So I think that'll be cool. So here's
Would
our
you go
last.
see it?
Yeah, of course I would. Would you?
Hmm. I have never seen Slayer live, perhaps. Would you go to Minnesota?
I would definitely go to Shakopee. I'd be like, oh, I love Shakopee. This place is way better than Las Vegas or LA. you know, like I said, is it, and I've told the story a bunch of times, but I love telling the stories. When I used to go see Slayer in the 90s, it was a war zone. There was not, it was jam, there was jam-packed clubs then. There was fist fights. There was people literally puking beer. They had the Jaeger girls walking around. Like 18-year-old girls in really skimpy clothes selling shots of Jägermeister in test tubes, which when I was like 17 or 16, I'm like, oh my God. And now I'd be like, someone tell those little girls to put clothes on, you know? But it was like a non like bouncers were literally brawling with people from the beginning of the show to the end. It was a literal madhouse. I mean, well, not literal. It was a metaphorical madhouse. It was crazy. But now when you go see Slayer, it's like a bunch of old dudes like, Slayer, yeah. All right, let's go get in the car. Slayer, yeah. Like it's such a different experience, like and for better and for worse. I did enjoy the danger, and that really did make it feel like it was vital. But on the other hand, people aren't getting their jaws broken. People aren't getting their arms broken. People aren't getting their nose smashed. Some innocent kid isn't getting the shit kicked out of him by three neo-Nazis. And so that's good, but also the fact that Slayer is no longer literally dangerous. I don't know how I feel about that, Em. I feel like Slayer should be literally dangerous, you know?
I wanted to see Slayer on their final tour.
Which
And
one?
when they came to, oh, which one was Behemoth was one of the openers.
I'm kidding. Which final tour?
Yeah, but but yeah, 1 minute. I want to know when this was. But anyway, I was in, oh yeah, I would have been able to go to this. But I was in like high school. And the way that it fell was I wasn't 19 yet, so like I couldn't go because it was a 19 plus show. So it's like I really want to go, I want to do this, and you know I'm like trying to figure out if there's a way that I can get in or whatever. But obviously that didn't happen, and it was like, oh no, like I had so many people again like say, oh, don't do that because like you're gonna like if you go there you're gonna die, you know, like all this kind of stuff. And it's like I would like to be able to go to something without like the fear of like getting the shit kicked out of me, you know. But yeah, that's I enjoy not having to worry about that kind of stuff.
Well, I certainly can appreciate that, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I enjoyed the outlaw. I'd be lying if I say I didn't enjoy the outlaw nature of Slayer in the 90s, where it was insanity. I mean, I don't want to overtalk it, but it was insane. It was insane. Listen, speaking of bands getting old, the Damned are going on the Final Damnation tour, Final
Ooh.
Damnation 50. Here's what they said in part. Yes, we're calling it Final Damnation because, bearing in mind the advantages of the participants, it's fairly unlikely we'll be able to undertake anything quite like this again. There's the small matter of pride involved, too, in that the performance of this classic material has to reflect the genuine passion and raunch of the original recordings. Otherwise, it just ain't worth doing. The band are playing so at the moment, we are going to be performing an eclectic set chosen from right across the Damned's career. So, M, does that mean they're going to do a special set, or they're just going to be doing the set they've been doing the past 3 or 4 years?
I think they're going to do a special set. I think they're going to do something a little different than what they've been doing the past 3 or 4 years if it might be their final tour.
Are you excited for this? And do you think this will be the final damn tour?
I think this is really cool, and I really hope this isn't the final damn tour because they're not coming to Canada.
Oh, oof. Well, you can go to New York, and where's Huntington, New York? I feel like that's near Canada.
I don't want to cross the border.
If you want to see the damn, then you have to.
I know, but please come up here.
I just don't think it's gonna happen. I think you're actually Huntington, New York is not near you at all. It's in near Long Island.
Oh. Boston, I don't think is like that far, but
Well, then go to Boston, Em. Go see the
wait,
Damned. The
is
Damned
it?
are awesome.
Where is Boston? I'm very good with directions and maps. Look at me go.
The
Oh, for
Boston's the
the
first
love of
USA show,
God.
Em.
Pardon?
The Boston's the first USA show.
So you know you're getting them fresh. Oh, that is nowhere near. Nope, that is very. Okay.
Well, Em, I think you should go
They
see
just show them.
the Damned. I think the set list is just going to be kind of the same set that they've been doing the past 3 or 4 years. I kind of wish they would mix it up more or do something more special, for their 50th anniversary tour, like the first album all the way through, or maybe, but or I would say Machine Gun Etiquette, but I've seen that all the way through, and it was friggin' awesome. Actually, Em,
Yes.
how many Damned albums do you think I've seen played in their entirety by the Damned?
Damned albums. Ooh, I think you have seen three.
Exactly. Damned One,
Hey.
Machine Gun Etiquette, and Black Album. And all three times it was amazing. And they're awesome. Damned are very cool. And what do you think the fact that the Flaming Groovies are opening?
I was very surprised. I mean, it fits with the theme of the poster.
In what way?
It's kind of,
Retro?
yeah. I don't
If
know.
you
I
don't,
think they're gonna be good.
the Flaming Groovies could be described as a, I mean, they're really like a 60s garage rock band or power pop band. They could be described as proto-punk, but they were around like pretty much 7 or 8 years before the Damned. I mean, they had like four albums out before the Damned did. And in a way, that's kind of the Damned being the Damned, kind of weird and different than everybody and not caring about the quote punk thing and them just doing what they want, which is cool. But on the other hand, it's the Flaming Groovies. I think I'd rather see, like, I don't know, anybody but the Flaming Groovies.
Who would
I
you have as the opener?
Well, I guess, well, I mean, I'll just throw out some names that would be like Cro-Mags would be cool. Although that isn't really, actually, no, actually, that would actually, well, that does fit with the Damned because Harley and you should see the Damned back in the day. Of course, Danzig would be awesome to see with the Damned, but at this point, Danzig, the band, might be bigger than the Damned. And I'm not sure Danzig would agree to open for anybody at this point. And of course, Danzig and the Damned go way back. Let's see who else might be fitting openers for the Damned. I'd like to see like a young punk band, like who's a spooky young punk band? And well,
Venus
Zorn.
Girls,
Zorn or who's the I
Castle
don't even
Rat.
know Ca I'm not a huge Castle Rat fan. Who's the band that everyone like loves that I just think is okay? They look like Death in June, but they're not. They're from Philadelphia, M. They had the medieval imagery.
What are they called? No, not Final Gasp. 1 minute. What are they? Poison Ruin.
Poison Ruin. Who was the other spooky band that people kind of, Devil Master. Or we could go like first wave punk. I'm trying to think like what first wave, like what's his name? Dictators, Handsome Dick Manitoba. I'd like to see that. Or I'd like to see what other like first wave punkers are still around from like the USA that would be cool. Well, I'm being kind of bored. Anyways, anybody like that. But you know, listen, maybe the Flaming Groovies will blow my mind. Maybe I'll be like, wow, that's amazing, you know. I would even
Yes.
go for DOAM, frankly, you know.
Dio is great.
Dio is good. Let me think. So I would say Zorn, but they're not really super well known. But you know, I think Poison Rune would be a good choice. I'm trying to think like one other like first wave punker or TV Smith of the Advert would be cool, but he's you know he's English, not American. But you know anybody like that or the Melvins would be a great answer. Actually, I think Melvins might be not. But the problem is, I often feel I've got a little bit of inside info. I think sometimes the Damned pick their opening act and that they don't want to be blown off stage. Not that the Damned would be blown off stage, but they don't want to be beat. You know what I mean? Or you know, outshined. You know, and so sometimes I think the Damned purposely pick okay openers. You know.
Interesting. Okay.
So, anyways, but anyway, would I go to this? I certainly would go to this. I am going to go to the Philadelphia stop. And would you go to this?
I would go to this. I think it would be a really good show.
And so the real question, Em, you got to rank them. CBGB, Fest, Damned, Slayer, 1 to 4.
1 to 4. Okay. I am going to do The Damned first, because I think that's fitting. I'm gonna do Fest second because I think you can see more bands than at with CBGBs, because CBGBs is all one day, and that's gonna get squished. Fest is over like a couple days, so you have more time to let it breathe and see a bunch of different sets. So for bang for your buck, Fest. Then I'm gonna go CBGB Fest because they do have some like Patti Smith, Bikini Kill, Panic Shack, Mannequin Pussy, Upchuck, lots of great bands, Buzzcocks, Circle Jerks. And then I'm doing Slayer because I do think it would be a good show, but I think the other ones. I think it would be a good show, but I would rate the other ones higher for like me going. What about you? What's your ranking?
Damn, number one. Number two, CBGB Fest, because I want to see Patti Smith again. Three,
Fair.
Slayer. And four, Fest. Only because I can see Catboy almost anytime I want. So I cannot see Catboy at Fest and see them up here. That's my ranking. Okay, so let's see here.
Very fair.
Ceremony M, they've got a new song out. The song is called
Oh,
Other Hell.
yes.
M, does this suggest a new album, or is this a one-off single? And what did you think of the song?
Ooh, I think that this is going to be either a tour kickoff or an EP. I don't think it's going to be a full album. I'm just going off of like vibes, and those are the vibes that I have because they released their live album earlier this year, and now they're releasing a new song. So that's what I think is going to happen. I would definitely like if they released a new album. That would be very interesting. But I think it's going to be short or single. I liked the song. It was really good. It was more kind of like hardcore leaning, and I really enjoyed it. So hopefully it is more music. But it's a good tune. What did you think of it, John? Because you are a really big Ceremony fan.
I am, but they have frustrated me with the second half of their career, not because they changed, but because they changed from being the best modern hardcore band to being an okay indie rock band, and also because they were kind of smarmy about it, and even basically they said, "Well, we're not punk anymore. We don't care about punk. We care about dance music," you know, which was a little annoying to me, even though I did like the last Ceremony album a lot in the Spear World now, and I really like the remix version of the album. I think Ceremony is awesome. I think sometimes they're a little bit too precious about themselves. That being said, I think this track is pretty cool. It leans back to the hardcore era, but it does have some of the that art rock, post-punk, you know, dance, injected into it, which I thought was pretty good. I agree. I don't think this Four Sages is an album, perhaps an EP or something. They did put out a single, like, was it, I can't believe it was like 7 years, was it like 7 years ago, M was like the last single. Felt like it was not that long ago, but it really was.
I think it was 2020, wasn't it? Or 2021?
crazy.
Let me see. Ba ba ba.
It was
2022. Vanity spawned by
crazy.
fear.
It's almost 5 years ago. Crazy. I remember Hallie Bull was on the track, and I talked about how I liked the name of that title, and she said it reminded her of a lot of comedians that she knew, which was always, I thought, was funny.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think this track is cool. I think there's going to be a single. I don't think there's going to be any big tour because I think most of those guys are like married or whatever, and they've got like home lives that they can't just go on tour for 5 weeks. But maybe there'll be a week tour here or there. So it'll be interesting. And how many views? Not that this is super predictive, but how many views do you think this got on Facebook on YouTube?
I think it got, let's say 75. I'm gonna go 75,000.
That's what I would guess. Only
Okay.
4,000. Only 4,000.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah, that's odd. That's very low. So yeah, I don't
Unless
know.
people are like streaming it.
Could be, but I mean, let me look at the video real quick. Is it a video or just kind of a song?
It's just a song. With like a kind of visualizer.
Yeah, well, maybe that's part of it. People do stream more, but that's not huge numbers. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyways, I like Ceremony. They're cool. They annoy me, but I still love them. Speaking of being annoyed, Live Nation found to have acted illegally by not the federal government. So let's step back.
Okay.
About a year ago, the federal government says, we think Live Nation and Ticketmaster are together as a monopoly, and we're going to break them up. So we're going to file an antitrust suit against Live Nation. And they said, our goal is to break up Live Nation. And then Trump interceded and he spoke to Live Nation. He spoke to the attorney general's office. And then the attorney general basically dropped the suit and basically said, okay, Live Nation, you just have to promise you won't be a monopoly going forward, but you can stay in the same company. And so, like, nothing happened to Live Nation at all. Nothing. Well, a combined action by 28 states, they filed, no, 38 states, they filed a combined action against Live Nation. And M, when the issue finally came to a jury, not a settlement,
Yes.
a jury, what did the jury decide?
The jury decided that Live Nation was guilty and
Yes,
acted as
exactly.
an illegal monopoly.
So when the people were finally able to speak on their own behalf, and which is what the laws are supposed to represent, they decided that Live Nation certainly is a monopoly. And so we're going to see what the fate is. We don't know what the punishment is going to be because we're not at the liability phase yet of this issue. However, Live Nation issued a statement which said, in part, the jury's verdict is not the final, the last, the jury's verdict is not the last word on this matter. Pending motions will determine whether the liability and damages ruling stand. And so usually when a big company appeals a jury verdict, they usually say something like, well, we appreciate the jury's work, but we disagree with their finding. Or, well, we think the jury wasn't allowed to consider certain matters they should have been able to consider. Here, Live Nation is such a giant company, and their statement is, fuck the jury. We're going to do what we want and file an appeal. They are
Yeah.
almost literally saying, we're too big for a jury. We're too big for the people. We know that Uncle Trump is going to help us out, and so it's amazing that and scary that whereas say 10, 15 years ago, companies were of course, being horrible to the consumer, but they had to at least act like they're looking out for the consumer. Now they're just like, screw you, you can't do anything. I'm bigger than the people. I'm a company. I've got Uncle Trump looking out for me. I've got most Republicans looking out for me. I've got Congress and the Senate looking out for me. I don't care about the people of America. I can do whatever I want. And that's kind of how the statement read. And it just goes to show that once people get to have a say in the actions of their government, that what we all knew was true the entire time, that Live Nation certainly is a monopoly, was found to be that they were a monopoly. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens at the appeal phase. And it'll be interesting to see if Big Daddy Trump steps in. And what do you think? Will Live Nation have to be broken up? What's going to happen here?
I really hope Live Nation has to be broken up because it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. Like everything they've been doing, like with the pricing and with buying all the venues and just dictating how people consume live music and then who gets to consume live music in a lot of cases, not in all cases, because again, there's DIY venues and there's different things that way, but they are, they control a lot of like larger and mid-range spaces. So I really hope that they do get broken up. I don't really have a lot of hope of them being broken up when Trump's in office. I think maybe like in a couple of years they will be, but I don't have a lot of trust that they will be in a timely manner, so to speak. John, what do you think?
I think there's a real. I'm thinking positive. I think the states are. I mean, what's hilarious to me is that one of Trump's big things was when he's running, he's like states' rights, states' rights, and that's kind of how he pushed making abortion legal again. And that he's like, I don't care about abortion one way or another, but I think the states should have the decision to make that. And so that's why states now can make abortions illegal. But then when the states decide something that Trump doesn't like, he's like, oh no, this is a federal decision, not a state. So Trump's whole thing was that he wants more power to the state, and all he's been doing is making the federal government bigger and have more overreaching powers, which is totally con but him being contradictory is nothing new, of course. Anyways, I'm hopeful. I think the states are banding together and will damage Live Nation in some way. Live Nation is never going to be defeated. They're too big. They're always going to win some way in the end. But at least if we can slow them down or hurt them some, that's great. And I think this is a step in the right direction. And people need to wake up and realize that no one's coming to save you, so we have to save ourselves. And speaking of saving
Very
ones,
true.
Afro Man has filed an appeal. As listeners surely know, Afro Man. Well, as listeners surely know, a few years ago, Afro Man's house was raided on a warrant by the Adams County, Ohio Sheriff's Department, looking for illegal drugs and kidnapping victims, which was weird because why would anyone think Afro Man would kidnap anybody? Well, they found no
Yeah.
drugs and they found no kidnapped victims. They did find some of Afro Man's money, which they took. When Afro Man went to get his money back, the amount of money that he received was less than it was on the intake sheet, you know. And so then Afro Man wrote some songs making fun of the police, Lemon Pound Cake being the big one. And it could have ended there, man. It could have ended there. But instead, the Adams County Sheriff's Department sued Afro Man for defamation. And in a spectacular, glorious, hilarious trial, the sheriffs lost the case. And in part of the case, one of the police officers, no, I'm sorry, one of the sheriffs, had to admit that he didn't know for a fact that Afro Man hadn't slept with his wife, which was one of the most bizarre interactions I've ever seen on the stand ever. Well, at the end of that trial, the judge, who in my opinion was clearly biased against Afro Man, ruled that all the parties had to split costs. And apparently, I didn't know this, apparently the judge previously dismissed Afro Man's claim against the sheriff's department earlier on. A lot of people were furious that Afro Man had to pay costs for a trial that he prevailed in when he was the one being sued. And what's your opinion
Yes.
on that?
He shouldn't have to pay any of the costs.
Well, M is wrong, and here's why. And M has the same opinion as most
Okay.
people. The vast majority of trials, civil trials in the United States, each party bears their own costs, okay?
Okay.
Now, different people, so people are acting like, how dare they make Afro Man pay? It would be unusual if Afro Man didn't pay. And by court costs, what they mean is the cost that it does to hire the jury and other filing costs, which actually is relatively minimal. It's in the hundreds almost undoubtedly. He probably had to pay like $300, which is
Okay.
annoying. But the reason we have that is, and there's different thoughts on this, but the reason we have this, M, is let's say one side had to pay the other side's costs all the time, right? That means you and
Yes.
I, Em, could never sue a giant company because my
Oh.
costs are going to be in the hundreds or thousands. The giant company's costs are going to be in the millions. So that means if I'm jeopardizing my entire life savings in house every time I want to sue a giant company, I'll just never sue a giant company, you see. And so the reason we have
Sure.
that rule is so people can sue larger entities without fear of being annihilated, even if they win, you see. So that's why we have that rule there, you know. Now some people say, well, it's not fair that you have to pay for costs if you win, but on the other hand, if you did, if the losing party paid for the winning party's costs, you could never sue a company ever, because if you lost or even didn't win everything you were asking for, then you would be, you know, taxed out of existence, you see.
Oh, okay. Sure. So it kind of
So,
levels the playing field in a way.
right. And there's lots of debate in legal academia about that and possible solutions. I realize the solution might not be perfect, but I think, you know, it's kind of the one that works the best in most situations. It sucks that Afterman has to pay 300 bucks, but on the other hand, then he's got millions of dollars worth of publicity out of this. So that's worth $300, you know. And
True.
also, that's the real reason he's filing an appeal, is he wants more publicity, which I don't blame him. I think he should get that publicity. I'd be interested to see what the other claims are that the judge dismissed. That wasn't really covered in any of the news, so I don't know what they are. So, anyways, Afro Man is back at it. M, should we see Afro Man as a hero of the people? Should we see him as an opportunist? Or is he an enemy?
Why would he be an enemy?
Well, ask the sheriff's department. They certainly see him as an enemy.
I think that in this case, Afro Man is for the people, and he is showing that when you feel or when you are wrongfully policed, you can speak up about it, go to court, and you can win. So I think it's a great like victory. I also really like that he filed the appeal on 420.
I think Afro Man is an opportunist, but also a hero of the people. I think the reason he's doing this appeal and the reason he did all these videos was for publicity. But I don't
Oh,
blame
yeah.
him. I might do the same thing too. I do think he's a hero of the people because A, he's protecting freedom of speech and also showing that defamation can't be used as a weapon. Did anybody really think, M, that Afro Man had sex with that police officer's wife? Did anybody really think
No.
that actually happened? You know what I mean? Like, it's obviously that it's
Yeah.
not real. You know, I mean, it's not, in the video, it's him having sex with an actor. So, actress, it's obvious that it's not real, you know. And also,
Yeah.
in the videos, Afro Man doesn't come off like a saint. He comes off as pretty funny, you know.
Yeah.
Also, I do feel he was probably unfairly targeted by the police. I think they targeted him because he's got something about smoking weed. I think smoking weed is bad and you shouldn't do it, but I think you should be allowed to sing songs about smoking weed without the threat of the police breaking into your house and taking your money. Also, I think it's important to note that the money didn't come back as it should have, you know. And so it's important to show out that the police should be better trained and better taught, and they are trained and taught terribly. So I think Afro Man is a hero to the people, and I think he's performing an important function. And I like his style, and I actually think his songs are funny, but also kind of good. And I've listened to "Lick 'Em Low Lisa" and "Randy Waters, the Son of a Bitch" a lot of times, and a lot of times.
Randy Walters is a son of a bitch really gets in your head, yeah.
It really is catchy. It is really catchy. Randy Walters is a son of a bitch. Ooh. Oh, that Afro Man. I would like to see Afro Man live. I wonder what it costs to book him now.
Ooh.
He was playing before this all went down. He was playing literal bars. And I don't mean clubs. I mean like bars that weren't clubs, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, but like if you look at like his tour dates, they're all in like the middle of nowhere, you know. So, like he's playing a place called Red's Wine Bar, Sound Sign Waterfront Bar, the world's most famous brewery in Dayton, Florida. So I don't know, man. I mean, M, if he's coming in at like 2 grand, I'm booking Afro Man, M.
Are you gonna try?
I might. The problem is, if I reach out to him, then he's going to come back at me with like a high number. What it has to be is he has to have shows already booked. Actually, and this is old school. His booking agent is a guy called Josh, and they've got his phone number posted. So you can just call his phone number and say, "Hey, Josh, you
Oh,
know." So
that's awesome.
it's pretty old school. Anyway, Ackerman's out there doing his thing. And anything else you want to cover? Anything else you want the people to know about?
What has been going on?
And Ackerman's booking agent only has three acts that he books.
Who? Afro-Man, obviously.
Ackerman, Purple Hearts, and Kid Lennon.
Oh, I'm not
And if I
sure
book,
who,
if I booked Ackerman, is there a threat that like no one actually would come?
I think there'd be people who would come just because
Because
of, like,
sometimes acts are like famous online, but like no one comes to the actual show, you know? And then sometimes like acts are like dead online, but the show is packed.
I think he would have people show up to be like, I have been reading the coverage on Punk News. I enjoy Randy Walters as a son of a bitch, and I would like to see it live.
I like I would definitely do like a Dwarves Afro Man show. Like that would be awesome, you know. Or Schoolie D Afro Man show, something like that. So, anyways, Afro Man, keep doing your thing, man. M, anything else we want to cover? Anything else you want to talk about?
I think we've covered a lot of cool stuff.
We have.
I can't think of anything else right now. Can you?
No, I think we should wrap it on up. And go listen to some Afro Man. And so yeah. So anyway, you go to some podcast at punknews.org. We're gonna have I'm gonna post a well, you'll know the time I say this. I'm gonna post a bunch of the older episodes up. We've got the record collecting episode we're gonna record tomorrow. There's gonna be an episode with CJ Ramone coming up and a whole bunch of other cool stuff. So until then, and when will we see them?
Next week.